This is Building Bridges, your community and labor report, produced and hosted by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
Later on, we go to a May Day rally in New York City, but first we go to the epicenter of immigrant repression and protest in the United States, the state of Arizona.
The governor of Arizona, Jan Brewer, signed into law the worst anti-immigrant measure in recent U.S. history. The new law empowers Arizona law enforcement officials, among other things, to stop individuals and inquire about their immigration status if they have reasonable suspicion that they may be immigrants without immigration status in the U.S.
Those individuals found to be foreign nationals without immigration status will be given stiff fines, put in jail, and ultimately placed in deportation proceedings. The anti-immigrant law just enacted in Arizona represents a major step backwards in the history of civil and human rights for this country.
Isabel Garcia, director of the Pima County Legal Defenders and co-chair of the Coalición de Derechos Humanos, and Leilani Clark, youth organizer of the Coalición, joins us from a mass human rights May Day rally in Arizona.
Thank you for the invitation.
Thank you for having us.
Isabel, tell us what's been happening in Arizona. What does the rally look like? How well attended is it? What's the sentiment of the attendees?
It was an incredible show of unity, an incredible show of resistance. We saw every kind of sign you can imagine, and we had 20 to 25,000 people strong in the only march in the state of Arizona. We had calls from all over the country. We actually had people that came from all over the country to join us in this march because, as we've seen, Arizona spotlighted for being the most anti-human state in the entire country. We are coming from Tucson, Arizona, to show that we are the ones who are going to forge forward a new vision for human and civil rights. We have adopted the mantra that has now come to us from all of our partners across this country. Todos somos Arizona. We are all Arizona. For us, it is a real victory that we, unfortunately, with the pain inflicted on Arizona, that we are now opening an opportunity to be able to dialogue with the rest of the country, that as Arizona has been used as the engine of all of the anti-immigrant measures to be replicated across this country, here too we are going to really begin the movement for full human and civil rights across the country and real reform, real look at how we got to where we are, that we cannot just follow this mantra of any reform, that we are looking for reform that grants rights, that recognizes the contributions that our community has built this nation, and that we know that our sending countries have been impacted by other policies of our government, especially the free trade agreement. If we are going to ever have a serious discussion of stopping migration, and that's what everybody's so focused, oh, we've got to stop all this migration, then the first step we have to do is to look at why people are coming. We have had 4 to 6 million people that have crossed since 1994, just from Mexico, since the imposition of the free trade agreement. And so we want full respect and full rights. We don't want to discuss this as a matter of an issue of criminality, law enforcement, or national security. We must begin to address the issue as it should be and address the root causes, address why people are coming, and demilitarize and decriminalize not only the border, but all of our communities that are now feeling the impact of Arizona.
Leilani, do you want to tell the audience how you came to this issue and some of your activities? I, for instance, understand that you chained yourself to the state house fence and numerous acts of civil disobedience.
Yes, we were 9 community members and students from the state of Arizona. I myself, including with compañeras and compañeros Raul and Fabiola, we're from Tucson, representing the Tucson community. And we just finally realized that the immigrant rights movement, we have exhausted these sources of, we've called our Senate and House representatives. We've requested meetings with the governor. We've delivered thousands of postcards, letters, petitions, emails. We've organized prayers, vigils, rallies. We fasted. We've marched. We voted for Obama. And even almost 500,000 people marched to Washington, D.C. to demand accurate change that represents the full continuity of what this community meets, yet we still have not had our voices heard in a respectable manner. Apparently, Jan Brewer, she feels that she's above democracy. Even with all the voices of opposition against her with this bill, she still decides to sign it anyway. So we are bringing light to this, and so we did an act of nonviolent civil disobedience to bring light to this very crucial matter happening right now, building, tearing apart our communities and families. 1070 was the last straw, and we had to take the next step to see this is the next phase of the immigrant rights movement.
And were you arrested?
We were held in Madison Avenue Jail, Maricopa County, for 15 hours. We were released around 2 a.m. We were first processed around 1 p.m. Even though that we were in that jail, though, we actually disrupted the system because there were so many protesters in Phoenix outside of the jail for us that we disrupted the whole system of the jail. They weren't able to relocate prisoners to other prisons. They weren't able to send in anymore. And even the cell that us four women were in that were chained to the Capitol, they actually gave all mats and blankets to these women in the cells with us, trying to present a softer image to us protesters. But we really disrupted the system in there. So we just made this a massive call for action for civil disobedience. That's what that action was about. Basically telling the youth that don't be afraid to think outside the box. We have to get our voices heard in any way that we can, nonviolently.
Leilani, I hear how strong your voice sounds. Isabel sounds a little bit hoarser today from the, I dare say, from chanting. But tell us about the youth presence that was at the rally and your spirits as a result of it.
It was beautiful. I would say I could tell you the majority probably seemed like youth and students here. And we just showed Jan Brewer just really heads held up high that we are not afraid of her legislation. We are not afraid of her. And this bill isn't going to bring us down. We're going to fight this at any cost. It's going to be 90 days until the bill is implemented into law. Until then, we're going to be fighting our fullest to educate the community and also think of a way on how to resist this, because it really is it's like the battalion is passing on to the youth, and we're really feeling now that the struggle is in our hands, and we have to be the ones to leading forward to this, because we're going to be the ones dealing with all this stuff in the next 10, 20, 30 years. It's time for a fresh new start, and it's going to be coming from the voice of the immigrant youth. We are very apparent in the community of Tucson and in Arizona. And it's time for our voices that we shouldn't be afraid to voice our opinions, our voices of resistance.
Isabel, how exactly does this bill impact on the immigrant and on the non-immigrant community in Arizona? I mean, how much more repression is it than the current legislation that is in effect right now, especially with ICE bearing down on people so harshly?
Yes, this bill really, even though it has awakened so many people across this country, really this bill is but the last of a series of bills that have been targeting all of our communities. It's like their crown jewel to finally criminalize the immigrant in the way they want, to racially profile, basically legalize discrimination and abuse. This has really brought forward what they really intended since 1994. Really, we have to look at historically and in context where we are and how we got here. This is but the last of a series of bills. I would call them the modern-day brown codes, as we had black codes after slavery and pre-civil rights movement. We had the black codes, a series of laws implemented targeting the African-Americans in the South. That is what's been going on for the last 10 years at least in the state of Arizona. People were funneled purposely through the state of Arizona in order to create chaos and division, to eventually poison the American politics so badly that we would elect people like Russell Pierce, the author of this bill, Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio, who's made it his mission in life to hunt down immigrants. We have an entire cabal of extremists that have been elected, a series of initiatives that have been adopted by the voters in Arizona, and that is because the federal government bears huge responsibility for having created Arizona as the laboratory. In reality, Russell Pierce and his laws are the intended consequence of those policies we started in the mid-1990s. And so we are really happy that as we are suffering the most repressive legislation, that it really does open up an opportunity for dialogue, because if there's one thing this country needs, it's a dialogue based on the truth and all the complexities of immigration. We know that it's very difficult to get any kind of reform that is just and fair in the present situation that we face in Congress, because the hearts and minds of this country have to be changed before we can actually reach real reforms. You know, this is not just the state government. As you know and you mentioned, we were assaulted by 800 ICE agents just 2 weeks ago in conjunction with local police, really representing probably their best exercise in how to do local police and ICE collaboration. So we know it's not just Jan Brewer. We know it's not just Russell Pierce. We know we have a huge job ahead of us, and this is a huge opportunity for us to open up this dialogue.
I'm reminded when I think about this act of the Chinese Exclusion Act and the Fugitive Slave Act, where people had passes that actually racked whole communities. And of course, lest we be too arrogant, up north, right in Long Island, right in Hazleton, Pennsylvania, and so on, we've had incredibly repressive ordinances passed in various localities. Many of them have been ruled unconstitutional. I want to go back to Leilani and ask, what is really the catalyst for the young people coming out and being as fierce in their rights as you have depicted for us in this conversation today?
It's finally, this bill just represents, this is enough. We have been faced with countless and countless upon legislation taking away our ethnic studies. That just passed just yesterday, taking away Tucson Unified School District ethnic studies programs, where a lot of us, we got a very broad education about. It was beautiful. It was very teaching students of color to critically think, and that was leading our pathway to higher education. Yes, that's eliminated. And finally, when 1070 happened, just in conjunction when the raids happened in Tucson, that never happened before. That was an atrocious example of what this bill has to offer. That was almost a preview, this completely occupied military zone of low-intensity warfare presented onto our youth. The mainstream media presented it as it was just operation in plain sight to get out a smuggling ring. But in fact, what the media did not show were kids were terrified, families were separated, police, ICE agents in conjunction with Tucson Police Department, with DEA, with the Sheriff's County Department, they broke into houses, into cars, and just they took off kids off the Suntran bus just making it way to school, and they're saying that they were targeting criminals and smuggling operations. It's blatant lies like that that we see being shown in mainstream media that we got the point that our voices aren't being heard. And that's enough. Ya basta. We are tired of that. A people can only remain oppressed for so long before they rise from the shadows and from the margins and from oblivion. We do count, and as youth, we know that our parents are doing everything in their power, but now it's time for us to also be telling them, you can rely on us. It's our voice right now. We want to be on the front line for this new movement, and we're going to train ourselves, too. We're going to educate ourselves about our rights, what our capacities are, and trying to think outside the box that have been presented to us just with the mainstream comprehensive immigration reform. We realize that is not working because from Tucson, we know what the militarization and occupation of the border has to offer. The border bleeds into our community. We blatantly saw that on April 15th, that Thursday, when the raids hit us. So that was it. That's the tip of the iceberg. The youth have had enough, and you could clearly see it today in the May Day outreach. Students from all over the city came around, from the state as well. There was many people that weren't locals of Tucson that attended this rally. Many just youthful faces. On our side, we have music and laughter and joy still. We're not going to be in the shadows, and we're not going to be in fear. Our anger is going to be very progressive. Because it's very wrong to tell us we can't be angry. We have every reason to be angry, but we have to turn that anger into a progressive outlet that is going to liberate ourselves from this oppression that we currently face.
And a lot of us are very angry with you. So, Isabel, tell us, those of us who are outstate or up south, as some people refer to it, or in the north, what do we do to support our sisters and brothers in Arizona and, of course, the entire immigrant community that resides with or without papers in this country? What is to be done?
The most important thing we can do is to educate the public. And I mean, in a very aggressive, forceful way, we cannot permit people to have opinions about immigration and immigration reform in a vacuum or out of ignorance, because we're talking about life and death. In this borderland, we've already had 90 people that have attempted to cross in Arizona that have died just as of October 1 of 2009. It is time that we come to grips with the issue of immigration, come to grips that we have 12 million people here without the proper documentation because we need them, because our economy depends on them. We have to tell the truth. We cannot go forward accepting that people have committed a criminal act. And every one of the reform proposals says that we've got to admit criminality. Migration is not a law enforcement, not a national security issue. People are coming here because there is poverty in their countries. And poverty in their countries many times is attributable by U.S. economic policies like NAFTA, like political persecution or political policies like our drug war that we're militarizing all of Mexico, and Mexican people are having to flee. Social conditions make you immigrate because you've got to join your families here. And until we have that discussion, we cannot have any reform. So the most important thing we can do is to talk with the truth and talk with facts and not with the racist attitudes or the attitudes of misinformation. How many liberals and other progressives and pro-immigrant rights groups have done us in? In 2006, there was $17 million spent on a failed strategy of saying, yes, give us legalization, but we'll accept border enforcement. We are being fed the same pack of lies that in order to have any legalization, and who knows, they don't tell us what. All they tell us, it's going to be a very tough road. The latest proposal says it's going to be like an 8-year guest worker type of program. In the meantime, look at the rest of the proposals. It says more Border Patrol agents, more walls, more agents at the employment sites, and on, people not realizing that all of these measures are really eventually for you and for me. Whether you're blonde and blue-eyed, you're going to feel the impact of these laws as well. We feel them here if you're blonde and blue-eyed already in Tucson. You've got to go through multiple checkpoints. You've got to show proof of citizenship in order to register to vote and to vote. You have to show proof of citizenship in order to get a job. My goodness, in the courts, you cannot imagine the due process rights that are being diminished, utilizing the, quote, illegal alien, and nobody cares. Oh, yeah, we're diminishing the rights of the illegal alien. I'm not one, and so why should I care? Well, you need to care, because the Constitution applies to everybody. There is not a separate constitution for immigrants and one for U.S. citizens. It applies to all of us. And if you diminish the rights for the immigrant, you diminish the rights for all. I don't know if it's a good analogy, but immigrants are used and as the canary in the coal mine. They look at immigrants to see what they can get away with and normalize violations of all of our rights in order to have conditions so that then it's okay to come after you. There's example after example here in the courts. We have Prop 100. We're denying bail. We actually amended the Constitution to deny bail to anybody who's undocumented and simply accused of a crime. We amended our Constitution to deny immigrants punitive damages. Now, how many immigrants were suing? Nobody was suing, but you don't think that the corporations are happy that they got their foot in the door in order to deny punitive damages? We need to wake up.
We are, and we're going to keep in close touch with you, Leilani and Isabel, because this is, and it must be, a collective struggle, and the struggle is about the legalization of our sister and brother, the immigrants who built this country and will continue to do so. Isabel Garcia, director of the Pima County Legal Defenders and co-chair of the Coalición de Derechos Humanos, and Leilani Clark, sparkling, energized youth, who is an organizer with the Coalition de Derechos Humanos. Thank you for giving us some insights and some spirit and energy to fight the oppression that will bleed into the entire country from Arizona. La lucha continúa. Gracias por todo.
So much,
yes, thank you for the support and the love. And no matter how far away you are, todos somos Arizona.
We are all Arizona.
Latinos, Latinas.
Amanecer, lo ves a la luz de la aurora,
que tanto aclamamos la noche al caer.
Sus estrellas, sus trajes,
sus estrellas.
That's called Nuestro Himno. It's such a searing, gorgeous piece and expression of the diversity and richness of cultural and political life, of economic life that the immigrant populations have brought to and maintained in this country. We're joining a solidarity effort, United May Day in Union Square, where Malvika is going to tell us what's happening. I know that this year, again, whether the issue is immigrants' rights, housing, jobs, police brutality, union rights, or anti-bigotry, as in the previous 6 years where thousands of people gathered at Union Square on May Day, the May 1st Coalition has reached out to build an even bigger coalition, United May Day, in support of immigrant and workers' rights.
Building Bridges correspondent Malvika joins us from the United May Day rally.
Tell us what's happening.
Hi, Mimi and Ken. I'm here today on May 1st, 2010. This is the May Day rally, and I'm so humbled and floored by the thousands and thousands of folks who are here from all backgrounds. This is not just Latinos, but we have South Asians, civil rights organizations, local student organizations, unions, parents, families. This is, in essence, a movement, a celebration of people who want to say we are united as a people for immigrant rights, for worker rights, for family rights, and for freedom. And the banners and the voices we're hearing today is that people do not want to criminalize immigrants, and they are telling us that we need to empower each other. We want to send a message to Washington, most importantly to our local politicians, including Chuck Schumer, whose bill is extremely controversial and undermines the workers of this state and this country. I have seen organizations who represent Filipina nurses, organizations who represent Latino workers, organizations that represent street vendors. We have the Puerto Rican Legal Defense Fund. We have NMAP. We have Move On. We have Green Party. I'm going to first start off with Diego Sukushanai, who is making his brother's recent murder by a racist gang in Brooklyn a voice to send out a message of awareness. He is here with his own banner and his own organization. His name is Diego Sukushanai. I'm handing it over to him, and he has a written statement that he read earlier, and he's going to read that to you.
My name is Diego Sukushanai. I am the brother of Jose Sukushanai, who was killed on December 2008 because of who he was and of his case pending. And we are hoping, we're expecting the final argument this coming week. But I wanted to say that I am here today marching to eradicate hate and to demand justice and demand just immigration reform, because hate kills with self-sufficiency, and hatred against the community is not just only on the streets, but also politicians and elected officials are preaching hate. We're supposed to fight for justice and equality for all, and they all are doing is the opposite. Like the governor of Arizona, the Republican Jim Brewer. She wants to legalize and encourage racism and segregation to all who does not look like an American. Therefore, I ask Ms. Brewer, what are the qualities of a true American? And surely her answer is a racial prejudice. Now, allow me to answer this question. A true American is not deterred by race, color, ethnicity, or religious belief. A true American is someone who believes in the values and principles in which are founded the United States of America, which are freedom, equality, tolerance, law, fraternity, and those who have desire to build the country. This country belongs to everyone. The United States of America has been, is, and will be a country of immigrants. Let's not allow this legalization of racism that motivates hate. Let's not allow this segregation of our community because of the way we look or because of the way we are. No, never, today, tomorrow, and forever. We shall overcome. Thank you very much.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. Thank you, Diego. That's the exact speech I heard that he gave at the rally earlier today at 12 p.m. at Union Square. I'm now in Foley Square where the march is ending with more speakers. I just also want the listeners and Mimi and Ken to know that there is also an Arizona-focused sentiment here tonight where people are discussing openly. Even the passerbys are questioning, what is this about? And people are chanting, boycott Arizona. And people are saying that this bill will make our society more vulnerable to segregation, violence, racism, and inequality. And this is not what America is about.
Well, this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our new website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.